Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Finally Following God's Laws, or Finally Following Elohim's Torah, okay, or Yahweh's Torah. So I've been practicing Hebrew words. You know, I've been trying to learn, do my best, and learning the Hebrew language, God's original language that God gave to Adam and Eve and all the way down. Okay. And this is what we're going to be talking to you about today. So, you know, maybe a lot of you said, well, what's going on with the Finally Following God's Law second season? Did he just stop? Did David just stop? What's going on? No, you know, in my last video, episode number 12, I actually told you that I was going to be taking the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, the feast days. I love them dearly. So this is what I was doing the whole month. You know, I did record the last one, the last episode 12, concerning the covenant promises, and also recorded special editions having to do with the feast of the Lord, you know. And you know, actually, I've also been putting out there the Torah portions every week. So I did not stop. Okay, I did not stop. But once again, we pick it up where we left off. This is episode 13. And maybe the title caught your attention. And so this is in the same regards to as the feast of the Lord and what happened in the original Hebrew language. And so this is on the same, kind of on the same note, if you want to say. So this is what we're going to be talking about, the Tower of Babel. It was in the days of Abraham, you know, why the Lord raised up his people and called them his own. It was the third rebellion. If you're not aware of what happened at the Tower of Babel, we're going to be getting into those scriptures today. And it's just, you know, these messages, you know, actually, I recorded these messages. Actually, I put them away. Like I, you know, whenever the Spirit was, you know, upon me, you know, you want to say in the mornings, you know, I would record things, actually write them down and say, maybe someday for sure someday, I'm going to record these messages. So this particular message came to me a while back. And so what I do, I just write them down. As the Spirit gives me the scriptures, I write them down and then I'll title them and then save them for later messages. So if you want to say these messages are spirit inspired, Ruach HaKodesh, God's Spirit inspired, because the days that I actually wrote them down, you know, it was just amazing how the Lord did it, you know. And so I said, well, so these different titles, even the covenant promises, that video that I did, also the same thing. I wrote them down on the day that it actually happened. I did not record them on that day, but I wrote them down, messages, sermons, if you want to call them sermons, the sharing of God's truth. And so this is one of them. This is one of them. I said, one day I'm going to present this. And it's all scriptural. And we know God's language, the original Hebrew language, God's original language was Hebrew. And so it dates back, well, how long? Ever since the beginning of time. Okay. And so there's a lot of different teachers out there that are sharing God's, the Hebrew letters, the pictographs, you know, and they're just amazing how they mean much, so much more than the person actually those who are first coming to the faith, you know, maybe even then, you know, we start learning about God's language. And so somewhere down the line, there was one language being spoken. And it's scriptural, and it's in the book of Genesis. I'm going to take you to these scriptures, okay? And so it's just amazing how he's going to restore his language, okay? And so, and why did he confuse the languages, and what happened there, okay? So I'm going to take you to some scriptures. I'm going to also be taking you to the book of Jubilees. Now, many of you will probably say, oh, no, that's not canonical. It's not canon anymore, but you got to research and wonder why. why did they take these apocryphal books out of the Bible? When did it happen? What did it have to do with Martin Luther? Why was it too Jewish? Because they spoke of the feast days, they spoke of the jubilees, they spoke of the sabbatical cycles of seven. You know, it's just, you know, when you read the book of Jubilees, which actually in Ethiopia is still canon. Okay, and so it wasn't until the 1800s around there that they removed the Apocrypha from the Bible, from canon, and they made that decision. And we got to investigate to come up with the reason why they removed it. A lot of those apocryphal books talk about Messiah. They talk about Yeshua. They talk about Yahweh being Yeshua. They talk about him and the Father are one. They talk about the King of the universe. He is one. And so maybe that's why, right? So you got to investigate. I did a little bit of investigating myself, and this is what I came up with, okay? Because it was about the 1800s, somewhere around there. Don't quote me on that, but it was somewhere around there where they removed the Apocrypha. So we got a lot of insight on this language and on Abraham as a child. Okay, so I'm going to be bringing you those scriptures today. Okay, it's not going to be too lengthy. Okay, it's not going to be a long video. Okay, but I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be presenting you this finally following God's law. This episode 13. I've been meditating on this, and I'm thinking I'm going to be doing these live. Okay, don't mark my word, but this is pre-recorded, but I will be doing these live. Okay, I'm pretty sure maybe twice a week, because I'm doing a Bible study right now. If you're not aware of it, I'm going through the Acts of the Apostles every Monday morning, 9:30 in the morning, Pacific time, Bible breakfast with David. I come on live. I do a live Bible study. You're welcome to join anytime or catch the videos when they're recorded afterwards. But I'm thinking on coming on maybe twice live, okay? One being finally following God's law. Remember, I said we're going to be doing different topics other than God's law, you know? It's just a mixture of different topics. This season number two of finally following God's laws. And I said that in the first one. I said I'm going to be bringing you different topics. I hope and pray that you enjoyed your feast days, the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. And now we're counting the Omer, okay, which is also commanded. The Feast of Weeks, we are commanded to count the days until Shavuot, when he poured out his Holy Spirit. And this is in the book of Acts. It's just amazing what happened on that 50th day on Shavuot. And it is the Feast of Weeks. And it did come to pass, okay? And so we're going to be telling you, allowing you to know what day it is. Well, I could tell you right now, today is the 24th day of Shavuot. Wait a minute, because this is pre-recorded. So today is the 25th day, okay, of Shavuot, counting the Feast of Weeks, counting the Omer, day number 25. And we'll be getting to that right now. I'm going to show you the calendars as I usually do, but I really hope that you're on God's calendar now. This is why I am sharing God's calendar, his dates that he made. Remember, the Jews didn't invent these calendars. The Hebrews didn't invent these calendars. God himself, Yahweh himself, okay, he invented the calendars. He marked the signs and the seasons with the sun and the moon in the sky. He's the one that placed the stars for signs and wonders, for seasons, his Moedim, which means for divinely appointed days. Appointed days, that's what seasons means in the original Hebrew language. It means Moedim, it means appointed times, divinely appointed. Why are they divinely appointed? It's because God spoke them. Whatever God spoke out of his mouth is divine. All creation is divine because he spoke them out of his mouth. He spoke them out of his mouth. And God's law, all his rules, his regulations, everything that came from the mouth of God or written by his finger at Mount Sinai is divine, okay? It is anointed. It is very powerful. and so is his language. Remember, he spoke all things into existence. The word that became flesh, his word, is very powerful. Okay, this is how he spoke things into existence ever since creation. And he spoke all these feast days. Okay, so I hope that you enjoyed and you're on God's calendar. I'm going to proceed to show you the little calendar that I make myself. And so we'll go ahead and go and start with this now. So I just hope and pray that you had a blessed Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. Okay, now you should know by now what they are. Okay, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. That's what they are called. That's what they've always been called. And that's what was fulfilled from Leviticus chapter 23. Actually, today, when we're doing the Torah portion, that's what it is. You could go to the Torah portion today, and it talks about the feast days of our Lord. It talks about his Sabbath days, okay? And so it's just amazing, very powerful, okay? So remember, divinely appointed feast days, divinely appointed days by God's mouth himself, by Yahweh's mouth himself, okay? So I hope you enjoyed the season. We are now done, but we're not done. Remember, we're counting the Omer. We're counting the Omer until we reach Shavuot in memory of what he did and so much meaning in this season. We count 7 weeks, 7 Sabbaths to Shavuot, which some call Pentecost. And what happened there is just ginormous, okay? And so we're going to go ahead and get into the word now. Blessed be the word of the Lord. Blessed be the word of Yahweh Elohim. Blessed be his word. Amen. So here we go. Let me get to that screen and we'll go ahead and present this. Okay. So here we go. All right. So let me go ahead. And so once again, finally following God's law, Torah, which means instructions. Okay. And so today is March. Actually, that looks like March, but it's ER. Okay, E-R-I-Y-A-R, E-R. It's the month of E-R. It is the 12th of E-R, 5783 on God's calendar. Remember, all God's events, everything that is written in the Word of God, you got to study it because everything happened on his calendar. Okay, you got to remember this. And he wants us to meet him on his appointed days according to his calendar, okay? Very special, divine appointments, okay? And so on your Gregorian calendar that man made, okay, May 3rd, today is May 3rd, 2023, okay? And so remember I said we're counting the Feast of Weeks, okay? Today is day 25, the counting of the Omer. It is commanded for us to count the Omer. It's just an amazement commandment. It is amazing commandment. It is actually a feast, okay? Feast of Weeks to Shavuot. And so he commands us to do so. And it is a blessing. It is a blessing. Why do I say it's a blessing? Because every time that you're obedient to his commandments, to our Father, Abba, and when you're obedient to his commandments, of course, he loves it and he blesses us, okay? However that looks, he blesses us because he loves our obedience. Remember, it's not sacrifices that he wants. He wants our obedience. And so when we do these things, we fall in line in obedience and we want to hear those special words. Good, well done, my good and faithful servant. Those are the words that we're longing to hear from his mouth, okay? And so the Feast of Weeks, we've been counting them ever since first fruits, okay? And so we're told, we're commanded here. It says, you shall count from the next day after the Sabbath. Remember the week of Passover, unleavened bread, resurrected on the first day. Well, that week, that Sabbath, okay, when he was still in the tomb, okay, and he resurrected on the first day, that Sabbath, that great Sabbath, okay, they call it the great Sabbath, the great festival, the great feast, the great Sabbath, because it was the day before he resurrected on the first day, first fruits. And from that day forward, we count 49 days. And so this is what it says here. You shall count from the next day after that Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed, 7 weeks. The next day after the 7th Sabbath, you shall count 50 days complete, Pentecost, Shavuot, and you shall offer a new meal offering to the Lord. You can find that in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 and 16, okay? So the Feast of Weeks, the counting of the Omer, day 25 today, okay? So it's a good time to meditate. Remember also later in Leviticus, I believe it's 16:17. Don't quote me on that, but he says, you know, do not glean all from your harvest. Remember, this is harvest time. This is when all the fruits on the trees, all the vegetables, everything is sprouting. And he doesn't want us to cut everything down. He wants us to leave it for the less fortunate, those who do not have, so they could come and they could glean off the trees, off your harvest. He says, do not take everything down. Leave it for the poor and the needy, those who are lacking, okay? And just those foreigners and strangers, you know, to come along so they can glean off it. In other words, this season, you could actually help the poor. Well, we help the poor all the time. All the time. That should be the heart, okay? Because that is the heart of God, okay? He's a God of love and mercy. And so that we can find in Leviticus, right after these verses, you can find it there. It says, do not glean, okay? And so that's in today's Torah portion. Leave it for the those who are in need, okay? So you could actually go out and help. If you don't have a harvest, then you could actually go out and help the poor, okay? Give to them. That should be your heart always, okay? This is the heart of Yahweh, okay? So today is Omer day 25, okay? And so here we go. Here's that calendar I have for you, okay? I updated it, of course. So it's been like almost a full month since I recorded one of these finally following God's laws, okay? And if you notice, I shortened the title. FFGL. So it's finally following God's laws, okay? Because the titles were just way too long, okay? So if you're wondering about that, that's what FLGL means, finally following God's laws, his beautiful, wonderful laws, okay? Much needed, right? Much needed in society today. And so ER Sivan, that's this month, 5783. We celebrated a new moon, okay? We went into from the month of Nisan, okay? Remember the month of Nisan, 14, 15, and this year was the 17th, first fruits. Remember, we go by God's calendar, Nisan. So we just celebrated a new moon, a new month, not so long ago. And so now we're in the month of Iyar, okay? And later on in this month, we have an actual new moon on the 1st of Sivan, the 21st of May. We have a new moon. So you see it right there at the bottom. And so X marks the spot. Today is Omer 25. If you want a digital copy of this, I will send one to you, okay? So you could actually count off the Omer with me, okay? Together, we count off the Omer. It's just amazing season. Amazing things happen in this season, okay? Counting the Omer. Remember, Yeshua, after he resurrected, showed himself to many in these days, okay? And then he left us his Holy Spirit on Shavuot, just poured it out. And this is how we come to be believers. Then he comes into our hearts when we accept him as Lord and Savior, Yeshua. He comes and resides with us because the Lord is the Spirit. He comes and resides in our hearts, okay? And he enables us to be obedient. Obedient to what? Once again, I love it. To his laws, his rules, not man's rules, not man's laws, his rules and laws, okay? There are rules we must abide by, and he loves it, okay? And so, X marks the spot. There it is, day 4. There's the Omer, 25, the 12th of Iyar, okay? And so we got our weekly Torah portion reading, which we're going to be getting into more. Okay. Next, we'll be getting into that. But this, I just made the calendar. So if you want the calendar, I'll be doing that Torah portion, every section there you see at the bottom, right here at the bottom. Okay. So I'll be filling that in every week. Okay. I was going to go ahead and do all of them, but I'm going to be doing it weekly by weekly. Okay. And so once again, if you want a copy of this digitally, I will send one to you. Okay. So you can count these off. All right, so there's the calendar. And so, but remember, but before we dive in, so those who have been following, finally following God's law this season, we always go through the grafting in and we always go through the Torah portion. Why? Because it's very necessary. That essential key, that important key to understand as believers, if you placed your faith in Yeshua, Jesus Christ, if you have placed your faith in him, you got to understand what we have been grafted into the commonwealth of Israel, God's people that God raised up for himself. And we're going to be going through the scriptures, right? The people that he raised up from Abraham, which later became the Jews. Okay. So we're going to be getting to those scriptures. But before we dive in, here's this week's Torah portion reading. And then once again, the key to understanding Yahweh Elohim's Torah and prophets, the scriptures. Okay. And so here we go. This week's Torah portion reading, Amor. It kind of sounds like amor in Spanish, right? But it's Emor. Okay. Emor. It means say or said. Okay. Say. There you have it in the Hebrew. And then so from the Torah, we got Leviticus chapter 21. This is my favorite chapters here. Chapter 21, verse 1, and through chapter 24, verse 23. My favorite chapters should be yours too, okay? And so prophets, from the prophets, we have Ezekiel 44, 15 through 31. Oh, powerful. I just read it a little while ago. And so, and from the Gospels, we have Matthew chapter 26, 59 through 66. And once again, if you didn't hear me recommend this website, I'm going to recommend it today. I have been gaining so much knowledge from the Lord through this website. His name is Justin J. Van Rensburg. Okay. He's just anointed. I know it is. And I just been learning so much from the original Hebrew manuscripts. Okay. Excellent. Okay. So there it is there at the bottom, www.hebrewgospels.com. He has, I think, almost all the gospels there from the original Hebrew manuscripts. I just very recommend you go there and you'll see what I'm talking about. Just amazing. Okay. Very simple. And I'm learning and I need to learn me, myself. I need to learn simply. Something about how, I don't know. It just resonated with me. His father and his family, very humble, no charge. There's no charge. Okay. And you're like, what? Yeah. You're learning Hebrew. You're learning the word. There is no charge for this. All he recommends is that you, by word of mouth, that you spread the truth. That's what caught my attention too. Very humble. His dad and his family, very humble. And there's no charge. He just recommends. All he asks for you to do is share it with others. And so that made a lot of impact with me. Okay. And so, and it should with you. The Torah portion summary, you know, I just have to add, you know, God never intended his word to be sold. Okay. That just resonates with me. You know, it's the word of God is free for everyone to read. And this is what he wanted from the beginning. Okay. I know there's cost. There's cost in production. There's cost in making books, paper, and all this. I know that. I understand that. And it is good to help out, to give donations or whatever, to help each other out, to help our brothers and sisters. Even in the book of Acts, that's what they did. They helped each other out financially and in every way. Okay. No, nobody ever lacked in the family of Yahweh. Okay. And this is what Yahweh wants. Okay. Even the foreigner, the stranger, remember the commandments to leave some on the trees, the harvest, for them to come along to pick it up. Okay, because there's always going to be somebody less fortunate than you. Okay, and so we must help each other out. And so here we go. The portion summary reads this. Portion summary, the 31st reading from the Torah is called Emor, a title that comes from the first verse of the reading, which says, "Then Yahweh said to Moses, speak to Emor." Speak, Emor, that's what it means. Speak, Emor, to the priest, okay? "Then Yahweh said to Moses, Emor to the priests, the sons of Aaron." And you can find that in Leviticus 21:1. Emor begins with special laws of sanctity, propriety, and purity for the priesthood. Leviticus 23, there it is. I love this, my favorite chapter, provides an overview of the biblical calendar, a listing of Yahweh's appointed times, okay? A listing of Yahweh's appointed times. Remember, there is a typo there. I forgot to move the Yahweh's appointed times. That's a typo. My fault. Okay. It's a listing of Yahweh's appointed times. I got to make that correction. Okay. Because there's not the Yahweh's. Okay. Of course not. There's only one God, one King, right? And that is Yahweh Elohim. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all in one, King of the universe, Creator of all things, okay? And so here we go. And so here's that key. Remember, I told you I was going to be bringing you that key. And the key is to understand that we have been grafted into the vine. I've been wanting to put some pictures up. Maybe I'll do it soon. Maybe you can Google it. What does grafted in really mean? What is he talking about? Grafted into the vine. Well, there's pictures. You know, I studied it myself. It's really neat. Okay, you can put two trees together. You can get an orange tree and mix it with lemon, okay? You just got to graft the branch into the root, to the vine, and then you'll sprout. Hopefully, it'll take. And I've seen this process done, and it's just amazing, okay? And we could just mix plants together. Well, this is what it's about. Jews and Gentiles, God's holy people, grafted in together to make one new man, okay? And so we're going to be getting to those scriptures now. In Ephesians 2, 11 through 18, it says, "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise." Remember the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, the new covenant. It is the same covenant, okay? What do you mean, upgraded? But it's the same covenant, everlasting covenants. That's what covenant promises means. And so go to my video, Covenant Promises, okay? I did this video, and you'll learn what the covenants are and what we've been grafted into. It's just amazing, okay? So go to that video. I made it I think the last video I made was the covenants of promise, okay? And so covenant theology, that's what it was named. So I think it was episode number 12, okay? So here we go. Once again, having no hope and without Elohim in the world, but now in Yeshua Messiah, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he himself is our shalom. He is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, okay? Dogmas, man-made rules, those pharmaceutical laws and rules that they added, okay? And they were misusing and abusing God's perfect laws that are full of love, okay? So he came and he abolished those ordinances and he put those Pharisees in check, okay? So The law of commandments contained in ordinances, dogmas, man-made rules. That's what ordinances mean. So as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making shalom, making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to Yahweh Elohim in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached shalom. He preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one spirit, one ruach, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, to the Father. Okay. And so very powerful. As I'm reading this right now, you know, we're going through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and we've seen where this happened. This actually happened, okay, when he went to the cross. And so afterwards, he left us his Holy Spirit, his Ruach. And so when I'm reading this, that's the scriptures, because we've been doing that study. And I highly recommend you join me on Mondays. It's very powerful. The Acts of the Apostles were Jews and Gentiles. Remember what Paul was doing. He was going to the Gentiles, and he himself was a Jew. And so it's just powerful scripture. And so this is what happened, okay? And so we have been grafted in to make one new man, okay? And so Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are no longer Gentiles. You've been grafted into God's holy people. And so, once again, we're going to be getting to those scriptures, okay? But you are fellow citizens of the set apart ones, okay? Because we are set apart, okay? The set apart ones and members of the household of Yahweh Elohim, being built on the foundation of the emissaries and prophets, Messiah Yeshua himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building being joined together grows into a set apart dwelling place in Yahweh, in whom you also are built together into a dwelling of Elohim in the Ruach. Okay, amen and amen. So once again, in Numbers 15:15 and 16, native-born Israelites and foreigners are equal. Remember, we are not better than them. They are not better than us. We come together, one new man, Jews and Gentiles, one new man in Yeshua, one new man with the same rules, okay? So this is with the same rules of who? Of Elohim, okay? Native-born Israelites and foreigners are equal before Yahweh and are subject to the same decrees. This is a permanent law for you to be observed from generation to generation. The same instructions and regulations will apply both to you and to the foreigners living among you, no matter where you live, right? We have been grafted in. And so we got Exodus chapter 12, 49. The same law applies both to the native-born Israelite and to the foreigner residing among you. Okay, Leviticus chapter 24, verse 22. You are to have the same law for the foreigner and the native-born. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. So straight from the mouth of Yahweh, our Father, amen. Yahweh Elohim, Yeshua HaMashiach, amen. Him and the Father are one. And so there it is there. Now, this is the part, I'm going to take a little drink of water. And proceed with the third rebellion, the Tower of Babel. Now, I'm going to be taking you to some scriptures. Now, you're probably saying, why do you call it the third rebellion? Because we know, well, the original rebellion, the original fall was in the Garden of Eden. Okay, and then the second was the Watchers, okay, in Genesis chapter 6. That was the second. And if you're not aware of it, there was a third fall. And that was here at the Tower of Babel, okay? And so you're probably thinking, if you do not understand this, I'm going to be taking two scriptures that prove this, okay? That this is what happened, okay? It was more than meets the eye, okay? Remember, there is an unseen realm, okay? There are watchers, there are ministering spirits, there are ministering angels, okay, that go to and fro, God's ministering angels. And remember, there is actually a divine council. Remember, in heaven, there is a temple, there is a kingdom, there are job descriptions, okay? They're not just sitting around floating in the air with harps and just floating around. No, they're not doing that. And if you think that, no, it's actual, a real place. There is a kingdom, there is a temple, and we have the replicas here on this earth, okay? And one day, heaven will meet earth, okay? And the two will come together into one. And so we're going through a dress rehearsal right now. So he gave us his ways. Those ways have been around ever since the beginning of time. Remember that kingdom that he made in the heavens. We have the replicas here on earth, okay? And the temple will come down to the earth, and then a new heavens and a new earth. And so he tells us about his feast days. He tells us about his rules. He tells us about the priests in Ezekiel chapter 44. I was reading it today. That is also the Torah portion today. It talks about Ezekiel from chapter 40. Go forward, and I highly recommend you read it, because it speaks of the temple here on earth, the kingdom, the 1,000 millennial reign kingdom here on earth, Ezekiel chapter 40 and forward. You would want to read this, because that's what it's speaking about there. In detail, there will be a priesthood. The Levitical priesthood will be back, okay? And you can read it for yourself, okay? It's just amazing. He gives us all this before time to prepare us. And to prepare us now, so when we reach that time and he returns and he sets up his kingdom, then he's going to say, well, if you were to die today, he will say, good, well done, good, my good and faithful servant, because you followed my ways, you understood my ways, you understood what I was telling you. And so you follow my commandments, and it's just amazing. And so this one day is going to become reality. Okay, and so this was the third fall. This was the third rebellion. What rebellion? Of the fallen ones, of those watchers, of those unclean ones. Okay, and so here we go. This is the Tower of Babel. Okay, so once again, the third rebellion, the Tower of Babel. So we're gonna start in Genesis, okay, to lay the foundation here. We're gonna start in Genesis chapter 10, verse 32, and 11, 1 through 9, okay? Genesis 10, 32, and 11, 1 through 9, okay? So, and why do I do that? Because in the context, this is where we pick it up. After all the genealogy, remember Noah, okay? And all the divided lands that were given to Noah and his sons, okay? The 10 nations, if you want to say, the 10 nations. Okay. So, these are the families of the sons of Noah. So if you want to go there in your Bible now, or maybe later, this is Bible here. If you just want to read it with me, this is where we leave off. This is why I did that last verse, because remember, there was no breaks in the manuscripts. Okay. There was no breaks. So it's Genesis chapter 10, verse 32. That's the context. And then we pick it up in chapter 11, 1 through 9. These are the families of the sons of Noah by their generations. So he went through the whole genealogy. It says, according to their nations, okay? The nations divided from these in the earth after the flood. So there's the context. And we know what happened pre-flood, okay? We know that was the fall, remember? Genesis 6, okay? And so we pick it up here. And once again, these are the families of the sons of Noah by their generations, according to their nations. The nations divided from these in the earth after the flood. Verse 1, chapter 11, remember, there's no breaks. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. Okay, so we pick it up in the context. These are all the families, the generations of Noah. They were speaking one language. What language do you suppose that is? Well, of course, it's the Hebrew language. Of course, it's God's language. If they were all speaking one language, it has to be God's language, okay? There's no other way around this, okay? Now, the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves." Key in on that, because this is what happened here. And they said, "Let us make a name for ourselves." They were thinking of themselves. They were thinking about becoming powerful. Okay. And God did not like this. Elohim did not like this. It says, "Lest we be dispersed," it says. "Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." Remember, they had a name for themselves. They were the sons of God. They were Noah and all his sons and the generations, okay? They had their God. They had Yahweh, their father. And so they wanted to build and make a name for themselves, okay? And so right here it says, "In a tower they wanted to build with its top into the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." So they said, okay, so we won't be dispersed. So what happened after? We'll see right now, right? So what they didn't want to happen, Elohim, Yahweh, allowed it to happen. He made it happen, okay? They were dispersed. And so we pick up in verse 6, it says, "And then Yahweh said, 'Behold, they are one people.'" Remember, they are one people. This is how he wanted them to be, one people, his people, which it says, "They are one people and they have all one language." And this is what they begin to do. "And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there, confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." Verse 8, "So then Yahweh dispersed them from there over the face of the whole earth, and they left off building the city." Now, you know, when it says the whole earth, okay, that's like a hyperbole. That's like emphasizing dramatically. They didn't go all over the earth, but eventually it became all over the earth, right? But in that area, okay, they were just dispersed all over the place, okay? They called it the whole earth, okay, because this is how they saw it. Everything they knew was right there, but they were dispersed into different nations here, 70 nations, if you want to say, okay? So, "And they all have one language." I'm going to pick it up at 6 once again. "And then Yahweh said, 'Behold, they are one people and they all have one language.'" And this is what they begin to do. This is very important, okay? Because of also what is going on in today's society. So much, right? Everybody's in communication with each other. Everybody could understand each other. And there are things being done, which maybe we'll mention later. They're starting to clone animals. They're starting to make AI robots like humans, okay? And so you just got to understand this. It is God and way out of hand. They don't think about Yahweh. They don't think about God, about what happened here, okay? Remember, this was just a tower being built, okay? And so imagine that, right? So just something to consider. And so verse 7 says, "Come, let us go down there to confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech." So then Yahweh dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there Yahweh confused the language of all the earth. And from there, Yahweh scattered them over the face of all the earth. Okay, so just exactly what they didn't want to happen. Well, guess what? Look what they got. Okay, and so that was the fall. That was the next fall. Okay, so that was the third rebellion. Okay, now you understand that was a third rebellion, but there's something more than that that's going on here. Okay, so I'm going to take you to Psalm 82. Okay, now if you're not aware of this, I recommend you go to Psalm 82 and read it for yourself. It says, Yahweh Elohim has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the Elohim, he holds judgment. Now you understand what's, he's Elohim. Yes, he is Elohim. He is the Elohim. He is Yahweh Elohim. Don't get this confused. There's only one, okay? And his name is Yahweh Elohim, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all in one, okay? Eternal. So don't confuse this, that he created other beings in his likeness. In his likeness, there's only one eternal God, and we know who that is. He has always been there. He has always been king of the universe, even before the foundations of the earth. That is the Elohim. So the Elohim here is considered to be what? His beings that he created in his image, okay? We are made in his image, and there's also those in the heavenlies that are made in his image, all the angelic hosts, the cherubim, the seraphim, okay? And so the archangels, all created Elohim, they're created Elohim. And so, once again, verse 1 says, Yahweh Elohim has taken his place in the divine council, in the midst of the Elohim. He holds judgment, okay? How long, verse 2, how long will you judge unjustly? So he's telling them, how long will you judge unjustly? Remember the watchers, they were there for what? Their job description as ministering angels was to watch over his human beings, us made in his image, to watch over, to take care of them, to come back to give him reports on how they're doing. And so when Babel, when he confused their language and they went out and made up the 70 nations, he put in charge those beings, okay, those Elohim, this divine council, okay, to watch over them. Okay, but they didn't do their job. And this is what happened here in verse 2, how long they rebelled. Okay, they didn't do their job as they were supposed to do. So what happened? God intervened. Yahweh Elohim intervened. And he says, you know what? I'm going to raise up a people of my own, which are going to be called after me. I'm going to raise them up. Since I gave you the job description, I went after you, rebelled, I sent you out, okay? I confused your language, and then I put those to take care. Now he's talking to the beings, okay? He's talking about those ministering ones, the divine council. They rebelled, okay? They didn't do what they're supposed to do. And so we find this here. Yahweh Elohim has taken his place in the divine council. And so in the midst of the Elohim, he holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. That's what they were supposed to do. Rescue the weak and the needy. These are all statutes and commandments of God, full of love, right? Verse 4, rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Verse 6, I said, you are Elohim, and all of you are the sons of the Most High. Verse 7, But as for men, but as men, you will die. As men, you die. Okay. And fall as one of the heads. Verse 8, arise, O Yahweh Elohim, judge the earth, for you shall possess all the nations. That was a proclamation, because why? That's when he returns and he will possess all the nations. That day will come. That is the Abrahamic covenant. That day will come when he will be, all the nations will be upon his shoulders. He will rule with a rod and a scepter, an iron rod and scepter. He will rule the earth, and all the nations will be subject to him. That's what it's talking about in verse 8. It says, O Yahweh Elohim, this is a psalm of Asaph. O Yahweh Elohim, judge the earth, for you shall possess all the nations. Okay, so I just want you to look into this psalm and just study this yourself. If you're not aware of this, this is what I get from the scriptures here. And so it's just amazing, this psalm about another fall that happened, okay? The third rebellion. All right, so concerning the watchers, right? Concerning them. And so here we go in Genesis chapter 12, verse 25 through 27. The call of Abraham. Remember, he said he was going to raise up a people of his own. He stepped into the divine council, to the Elohim, okay? And he judged them. Once again, he judged them. He says, okay, so if they cannot take care of them, then I'm going to raise up a people of my own. This is where Abraham comes into the picture. Okay, remember, Abraham came from Ur the Chaldees. He came from one of those Gentile nations. He came from one of them, but he had faith in Elohim. He had faith in Yahweh, okay? And so he placed his faith, and so Yahweh, he honored that as a child, ever since Abraham was a child, him living in a Gentile nation, worshiping false gods, idol worship, okay? So this is where we pick up in Genesis 12, 25, through 27. Let me get some more water. Excuse me. The call of Abraham. Okay, this is before he got the name Abraham. The call of Abram. Okay, now Yahweh said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now that is, all the families will be blessed. That is the Abrahamic covenant that will happen upon his return, okay, when heaven meets earth. So verse 4, so Abram went, and as Elohim had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to that place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then Yahweh Elohim appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built there an altar to Yahweh, who had appeared to him. From there, he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. I'm pretty sure it's pronounced I, okay? I, okay? And there he built an altar to Yahweh, and called upon the name of Yahweh, And if there's those, I just made some adjustments there. Once again, forgive me for the typos. I forgot to remove the word the there. And there he built an altar to Yahweh and called upon the name of Yahweh. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Okay. And so here we go. We're going to pick up in the book of Jubilees. Okay. Now, once again, this is just my opinion that the Apocrypha should have never been taken out of the canon, because I truly believe that it is inspired. And I just recommend you do your research on that. And so we pick it up from the book of Jubilees, gives us a lot more insight, okay, on what happened here. It's just amazing. And so the book of Jubilees, chapter 12, 22 through 28. Verse 22 says, "And he made an end of speaking and praying. And behold, the word of Yahweh was sent to him through me, saying, get up from your country and from your kindred." He's speaking to Abraham here. "And from your kindred and from the house of your father unto a land which I will show you. And I will make you a great and numerous nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you shall be blessed in the earth. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse them that curse you." Verse 24, "And I will be a sovereign ruler to you and your son, and to your son's son, and to all your seed. Fear not, from henceforth and unto all generations of the earth, I am Yahweh, your sovereign ruler." Verse 25, "And Yahweh said," and Yahweh Almighty said, "open his mouth and his ears, that he may hear and speak with his mouth, with the language which has been revealed. For it had ceased from the mouths of all the children of men from the day of the overthrow of Babel." Verse 26, "And I opened his mouth and his ears and his lips, and I began to speak with him in Hebrew, in the tongue of the creation." Verse 27, "And he took the books of his fathers, and these were written in Hebrew, and he transcribed them, and he began from henceforth to study them. And I made known to him that which he could not understand. And he studied them during the 6 rainy months. And it came to pass in the 7th year of the 6th week that he spoke to his father and informed him that he would leave Haran to go into the land of Canaan to see it and to return to him." So it is the same storyline. This is why I truly believe it's inspired, because it doesn't go out from the original, supposedly the original canon, okay, from the Torah. It's not too far-fetched, okay? It lines up of what happened, but there's a fuller detail here. And I just find it fascinating, okay? And once again, I truly believe that it is inspired, because if you truly think about it, remember, meditate on this, and you ask yourself, Abraham came from Ur the Chaldees. We know they did not speak Hebrew. We know what happened with Babel. We know that he confused the languages and he sent them out to these nations, and those nations rose up and they turned into the Gentile nations, the pagan nations, because Ur the Chaldees was a pagan nation. They were worshiping false gods. They were worshiping idols. And this is where Abram came from. And so how do you suppose that he started speaking Hebrew? Because we know from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Hebrew language was not dead. It flourished. this is where we have the language of the Hebrew language. This is where we have the manuscripts. This is where we have the tribes of Israel speaking Hebrew. This is where we have the original manuscripts. So how do you suppose, after he sent and confused all the languages and he removed his language from them? Remember, go back. They spoke one language. Everyone spoke one language from Noah. All that, those generations, they all spoke Hebrew. And so it was the third rebellion. He sent them out. He confused the language and he took it from them. Okay, so this is fascinating here, because once again, I'll pick it up in verse 25. What does it say? It says, Yahweh Almighty said, open his mouth and ears, Abraham's mouth and ears, that he may hear and speak with his mouth, with the language which has been revealed. For it had ceased from the mouths of all the children of men from the day of the overthrow, Babel. Verse 26, and I opened Abram's mouth, he says, and his ears and his lips, and I began to speak with him in Hebrew. Who was speaking with him? This is Yahweh. This is his original language, the Hebrew language. He began to speak to Abram and to teach him all these things, the word. Okay, so it's just amazing here. So it says, and I began to speak with him in Hebrew, in the tongue of the creation. The tongue, how he spoke everything into existence. Remember, there was been a language even before the foundations of the earth. He spoke them all. Very powerful. Very powerful. When you start studying the language, the Hebrew language, these things are just amazing on how much they're so rich in meaning, okay? And how powerful and how divine they are. And we go back to what I said in the beginning. What I said in the beginning is what? Every word that is divinely spoken by Yahweh, by our Lord, is divine because of the power that it has in his word. All the way from creation, so all the feast days, all the commandments, everything, it is very powerful. And so right here we pick it up. It says, I began to speak with him in Hebrew, in the tongue of the creation. And he took the books of his fathers, and these were written in Hebrew, the original manuscripts. This is amazing. And he transcribed them, and he began from henceforth to study them. He understood the language, okay? He was given the language back after Babel, okay? God chose Abraham and showed him the language and restored back to him the language that he removed from the tower at the Tower of Babel, the third rebellion. It's just amazing here. And I made known to him that which he could not understand. And he studied them during the 6 rainy months. Amen and amen. Just fascinating, okay? And once again, it's not far-fetched. You have to understand, how did Abraham start speaking the language again? How did it go there from Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, to the 12 tribes, to what we have today? Yes, has it changed somewhat, of course, from the pictographs all the way down, right? But it's still there. It's still the language there. And they said that language died. No, it has not died. Remember, I gave you that website, HebrewGospels.com, and the original manuscripts of Revelation are in Hebrew. Okay, John spoke Hebrew. Yeshua spoke Hebrew. Okay, of course they did. Of course they did. Okay, come on now. Who is Yeshua? Who is Yeshua? He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay, so just meditate on this, okay? Amen and amen. So here we have in Deuteronomy chapter 32, 8 and 9. When Yahweh Elohim gave to the nations their inheritance, this is now fast forward, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. But Yahweh's portion is his people. Jacob, Israel, his allotted heritage. So did they fall in line after this? Even when God raised them up, he raised up Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all this, and restored the language back. What happened? Well, we know what happened. So I encourage you to read the entirety of chapter 32. They started going after false gods. They started mixing and going. They started leaving his commands. They started, well, we know what happened. So yes, did they get their borders? Yes, did he give them their inheritance? They remember, they went into the tribes and they received everything God promised them. But what happened? And then they were driven out again. Remember, in Jerusalem with Babylon. Because why? What is the reason why? Because they left his commandments. They left his ways. They started playing the harlot. And this is the same warning that we have today, not to do those things. And he blessed them. He blessed them so very much. And so now what do we have today? Yes, we have Israel. But it was a lot more than Israel. Remember, the northern and southern kingdom, they were divided. Look what they did. Okay? And so we are no better. Don't get me wrong. We are no better. But one day, all those allotted tribes, all that allotted land will be restored in his kingdom. It is, the measurements are there. Read it in Ezekiel chapter 40. Okay? The measurements are there. How much it's going to increase. All those that were allotted to their inheritance, we will have them someday, but a lot is going on because of this, because of what they did. So read chapter 32 because of the discipline of what happened after he divided. Right here it says, Yahweh Elohim gave to the nations their inheritance. When he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. But Yahweh's portion is his people. Remember, he raised up his own people. He stepped into the divine council. And he says, you know what? If you guys can't do it, I gave you job descriptions to do, and look what you did. So that was the third rebellion. So he stepped in and said, you know what? I'm going to raise up my own people. And look what they did after that. They still didn't get it, right? So, but Yahweh's portion is his people. Jacob, Israel, his allotted heritage. But he said, because of his mercy and love, there was always a remnant that stood obedient. Always a remnant. Always a remnant through all the prophets. Always a remnant. And so for this, God made a promise. Yahweh made a promise. And he, because of his name's sake, he will complete. He will, his promises are everlasting for his name's sake. Okay. Not because of us, we fail. Okay. But he will redeem Israel. He will complete the new covenant in the millennial kingdom. He will have compassion and mercy and forgive, because this is his heart and because of his name's sake. Once again, amen and amen. And so Jacob, Israel, his allotted heritage. I highly recommend you read what happened after these first verses, and then you'll see what I'm talking about. Please read the entirety of chapter 32. Okay, so now we go to Zephaniah. This is so powerful. Chapter 3, 8 through 20. Therefore, wait for me, says Yahweh, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations once again, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour on them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth will be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language. Oh my goodness. You see this? You see this? So what is going to happen? Remember, everybody from Babel on forward, that third rebellion, all the way till today, everybody speaks a different language. right? But one day when he returns, and this is scripture, what language do you suppose everyone will be speaking in his kingdom? Well, it says it here. Go to Zephaniah chapter 3, 8 through 20. Okay, I'm going to pick it up once again in verse 8. Therefore, wait for me, says Yahweh, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour on them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. Remember his discipline. For all the earth will be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then, here we go, verse 9. For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language. That's the Hebrew language. That's from the original, right? That they all may call on the name of Yahweh Elohim to serve him with one accord. Verse 10, from beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshipers, even the daughter of my dispersed people, will bring my offering. In that day, you will not be disappointed for all your doings in which you have transgressed against me. For then I will take away out from amongst you your proudly exalted ones, and you will no more be arrogant in my holy mountain. But I will leave amongst you an afflicted and poor people, and they will take refuge in Yahweh's name. Amen. The remnant of Israel will not do iniquity nor speak lies. Neither will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they will feed and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. Amen and amen. I get excited because what does he say here? The arrogant, the powerful people, those who are in charge of nations, those who call the shots and treat the poor and the needy, the way there is so much starvation going on here. There's so much greed going on within the governments. There is so much of it going on within our governments. But one day that's all going to change. And who is he going to pick right here? Who is he going to pick? Look at it says here, verse 12. But I will leave amongst you an afflicted and poor people, and they will take refuge in Yahweh's name. The remnant of Israel will not do iniquity. So I'm going to take it back to what? Verse 11. In that day, you will not be disappointed for all your doings in which you have transgressed against me. For then I will take away out. I will take away out from amongst you your proudly exalted ones, those in power, those who rule, and you will no more be arrogant in my holy mountain, but I will leave amongst you an afflicted, oppressed, and persecuted poor people, and they will take refuge in Yahweh's name. Amen and amen. So it's just going to be amazing. That is a day to look forward to. We have hope in our Lord. We have hope in Yahweh. We have hope in our Savior Yeshua. Amen. For he is salvation. Okay. Verse 9. I'm going to say it one time again, and I'll let you meditate on these scriptures. For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, all of us, that they all may call on the name of Yahweh Elohim, to serve him with one accord. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Another typo there. The name of the Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh Elohim. That is my typos, okay? Because I love the name Yahweh Elohim. Amen. Amen. It continues, okay? I get excited here. This is verse 14. So once again, Zephaniah, chapter 3, 8 through 20, okay? And so, 14, verse 14, it says, sing, daughter of Zion, shout, Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart. daughter of Jerusalem. Yahweh has taken away your judgments. He has thrown out your enemy, the King of Israel, Yahweh, Yeshua. Yah is salvation. That's what Yeshua means. Yah is salvation. It says once again, Yahweh is amongst you. You will not be afraid of evil anymore. In that day, it will be said to Jerusalem, don't be afraid, Zion. Don't be afraid, Zion. Don't let your hands be weak. Yahweh, your God, is amongst you, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will calm you in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I will remove those who grieve about the appointed feast from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. Oh my goodness. Behold, at that time I will deal with all those who afflict you, and I will save those who are lame and gather those who were driven away, the great Aliyah. Amen. I will give them praise and honor, whose shame has been in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you in, and at that time, I will gather you. For I will give you honor and praise amongst all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says Yahweh. I love this. I love this scripture here. So much hope in the world that we live in today. This is going to happen on that day. And look what it says right here, talking about the feast days. You know, so many do not understand how powerful his feast days are, how they're all concerned Yeshua, how every feast day concerns him, how they were foretold from ages long ago and they came to pass. That has been heavy on my heart. Yeshua has had it on my heart. And why does it say this? Look at what verse 18. I will remove those who grieve about the appointed feast from you. Those who grieve about the appointed feast. Those who do not believe in them. Those who reject them. I will remove those who grieve about the appointed feast from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. That's just so sad. But look what it says. He will remove them. He will remove them. This is how important it is. This is why it's been heavy on my heart. The Lord is giving a warning here. I hope you see it. And so, once again, I ask that you go through this scripture. Once again, I'm going to give it to you one more time, just so you know. Zephaniah chapter 3, 8 through 20. His original language will be restored, his pure language to everyone when he returns. Okay? So we'll be all in one accord. Okay? And so I ask that you go through this very powerful scripture on your own and meditate on it. It is very powerful, okay? And so right here in Zephaniah 3:9, I broke it down as far as in, this is actually the interlinear from the original Hebrew language, okay? And so just so you know that I don't make things up, you know, I try to bring you as close as the word to the truth in his original Hebrew language as I can. Like I said, I've been studying, I've been learning. I give all praise and honor to Elohim, Yahweh, that he's given me that heart to learn. And he gives me understanding increments of understanding. Okay. He knows he's in control of me and I ask him to teach me the truth and he does it. And so it's just amazing what his Ruach HaKodesh does. He is our teacher. He is our guide. Amen. And so this is the original. This is the interlinear of that same scripture, Zephaniah 3 verse 9. And we'll take it from, remember, it's always from right to left. This is how they read the Hebrew. says, for then I will restore. So we're right here. Says, for then I will restore the peoples a language, a pure language. Okay. Once again, for then I will restore to the peoples a language. Okay. A pure language, a language pure. Okay. A language pure that they may call. That says that they may call that they all. Says that they all may call on the name of Yahweh. And that is Yahweh right there, to serve him with one accord, with accord one, with one accord. Okay, so there you have it in the interlinear, the original Hebrew, God's language. Okay, so we say it again, for then I will restore to the peoples a language pure that they may call, that they all may call in the name of Yahweh to serve him with one accord. Amen and amen. It's just going to be amazing. He's going to restore his language back to us. The same language that was confused that he did give to Abraham. Okay. He did give it to Abraham. It's just amazing. Amazing. And so, I thought there would be another actual slide there, but like I said, it wasn't going to be too long and drawn out. But I just encourage you. I encourage you to go through those scriptures once again, especially Zephaniah, go through the Tower of Babel, and just remember, he's coming back. He's coming back to save us. Remember, Yah is salvation. There is meaning behind Yahweh. There's meaning behind Yeshua. And this is his original name, okay? God, his heavenly given name by Yahweh himself. And it means Yah is salvation. That's what Yeshua means. Yehoshua, Yahweh, Yeshua for short, okay? And so once you start studying the original language, we know he goes by the name of El, Elohim. El means God, okay? Elohim, okay? And so it's just amazing how we learn Daniel. The last couple letters from Daniel is El, okay? Daniel, okay? There's meaning in all these names. And once you start studying the meaning behind these names, it's just amazing. Michael, Michael is Michael. Michael ends with what? El, who is like Yahweh, who is like God, who is like Yahweh, who is like El. That's what it means. Michael, his angel Michael. Okay, and so Gabriel. Okay, Gabriel. Okay, it means the messenger. Okay, I'm kind of stumbling up right now. I do have them for you here. I wrote them down and their meanings. And so I've been learning these and they're just amazing. Okay. And so once again, Gabriel, I don't want to leave you hanging here. Gabriel means the mighty one. Okay. The mighty one in Hebrew means the mighty one. The Gev Gabriel of El. Okay. Michael, once again, means who is like El, Elohim. Okay. El. Okay. Yeshua. Yah is salvation. Yehoshua. Yeshua is short for Yeshua. And so I'm not trying to say that it's not okay to use Jesus, but if you can say Yeshua, I love it, okay? Because it makes me feel more closer, more intimate saying his true name, especially Yahweh, okay? His original name. It's just amazing. Remember the impact of his pure language, okay, and how he spoke all things into existence. And I highly recommend you start reading and learning like I've been learning. It's just been amazing. Okay, so we're going to bring this episode 13 to an end. Thank you so much. Once again, let me take a drink of water. Hold on a minute. And so, And so what do we say? Okay, that's why I had to take a drink of water, because as you've been knowing, if this is your first time watching one of these Finally Following God's Law, we know, you know what we always do at the end, okay, at the end of every episode. And so here we go. Okay, here we go. Okay, you ready? You ready for this? Thank you for joining another episode of Finally Following God's Law. Stay tuned for episode 14 next week. Let's see what see what the Lord has in store. Okay, but thank you once again. If you've been following along, if you haven't been following along, then I suggest you go to episode number one of Finally Following God's Law. Okay, season two. And I'm just putting it out there. I suggest you go to episode season number one of Finally Following God's Laws, okay? And so with that, I'll see you next time. And what do we say? We say amen and amen and Maranatha. Bo Yeshua Bo. That means come, Lord Jesus, come. Bo Yeshua Bo. Come, Yeshua, come. Amen and amen. Goodbye for now, but never forever.